welcome to another episode of the Loud Feelings podcast. If I'm a little echoey, it's because I'm not at home. I'm in Boston. So welcome to my multitasking life. I'm one of your hosts, Mark Johnson, joined by none other than...
Miss Lauren. I never say my last name.
No, it's okay. I don't expect you to. I also love that you call yourself Miss Lauren. Like, it's pretty epic. I need to mute all my technologies. Let me get my phone muted too, because that's the girls love to catch me on the phone. how are you? What's new?
I'm well. I just got home from Vermont yesterday. Okay. We spent 4 days in Warren, Vermont. It's like, honestly, I couldn't tell you where it is. I think it's like 45 minutes from Burlington. Okay. And we did like the water, like the swimming holes. We went to two breweries. One was Foam Brewery, actually so good. That one was in Burlington. And then we also went to Lawson's Finest Liquids. I got a little koozie. Oh, you can't. There you go. You can't really see. And I got that. We went there on the way. Or no, we went there on the third day. Okay. And then on the way home, we just stopped somewhere in Saratoga. But mostly we stayed at home and just kind of hung out. It was fun, though. It was a good little trip away for the summer, because I don't usually get to do you too many.
Well, you normally go to Canada, but this is not that. That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, I used to go every year. I actually... The year before COVID, I didn't go. And then obviously with COVID, everything shut down. And then there actually, I think I just read that Justin Trudeau said that vaccinated Americans can come back in, I think, starting pretty soon. September, maybe?
Probably September.
Yeah.
I'm dying laughing because, like, I can always time it. You're like, oh, I'm going to Canada. But you go for so long that I'm like, Lauren, like, are you alive? Like, I literally text you like partway through. I'm like, are you alive?
I would always go for like 2 weeks and I'd get back and there would be texts from you. And I'd be like, he knew how long I was going for. Like, I don't.
Doesn't make a difference. Does not make a difference.
Those were long trips, actually. I was gone for long periods of time on those trips.
But you know, you can use your phone in Canada, right?
It's free. Where we were didn't have Wi-Fi like at the time. So it took a while, like before, I mean, like when I first started going up there, I was like 18 or 19. So like, it was still kind of like just like a rural thing, but they got Wi-Fi, I think in like, I don't know, 2016, maybe 2015 or 2016, they got Wi-Fi. So then I was able to start like texting, but a lot of times I just left my phone off so it didn't roam.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think roaming now is a thing anymore between the I almost said upstate New York. Well, sometimes it feels like the Ozark, but between Canada and Mexico. So when we go to Mexico, you can text all your little friends.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't know that. 2021, baby.
That was the part of some treaty. I don't want to call it a treaty. I think it was a trade deal. But yeah, I think that was a part of it. So we can be talking.
Good.
But welcome, everybody. Now you've gotten some backlog. I've had quite the week, but it's better now. Like, I'm not that it was bad, but I'm just like, I was all over the place. I'm still all over the place. And I won't not be all over the place until the end of this month. So I remind you of that the reel or the, what's it called? TikTok, where the guy like is laughing. He's like,
yeah, because that's like you are busy
and busy, and like there were like I was looking at it like when I was in the air, like I got like 5 phone calls and I can't return them because I have stuff to do. I gotta do the podcast. I gotta check on Kit because he's out living his best life with his dog sitter.
Is he?
He didn't even say bye to me. Like, that's how I'm like, okay, you need to go live somewhere else because I drop you off and Lauren, I kid you not, I could have like read bye-bye in his dust cloud. Like,
he was like, bye.
Yeah. Get out. Nice knowing you. But he saw other dogs, so he was like, I gotta go play. Not that he wasn't playing with another dog the entire week, so no big deal. But let's get into our hot topic. It's pretty momentous. I'm excited, and this is like a spur to anybody who's not participated in it yet to do so. But do you want to go over it, Lauren?
Sure. So I am guilty. I still have not watched Pose, but I saw, and I know you and I had talked about, I need to watch it. And I happened to see an article that said that Pose star MJ Rodriguez became the first trans woman up for a lead acting Emmy. And that prior to her, only two transgender performers received Emmy attention. One of those was Laverne Cox for her mm-hmm. performance in Orange is the New Black. And then Rainn Valdez for Razor Tongue, which I will not lie, I don't know.
I don't know that one show. Either. Yeah, I don't know that one either.
It looks like it was just like a short form comedy kind of thing. But I don't think that Laverne Cox won, and I don't think that Rainn Valdez had won either. I think they both had just been nominated, but it was a significant step because we're seeing more LGBTQ representation in the media and now in Oscar nominations, which is good because they're becoming more inclusive. I think it was a big step a couple years ago when like Moonlight was nominated. Well, they weren't nominated for an Emmy, but they were nominated for an award and
for
like
an Oscar.
Yes. And you just see that like it's not just the same paper cut dolls, like same people winning over and over. So
the Scarlett Johansson's of the world, like as much as I love Scarlett Johansson and she's in that new Black Widow movie that I still have yet to see, which that tells you, again, how busy I am because I've not seen a Marvel movie and I normally see that like seconds. But it's good to see that like more representation is being like displayed and everybody's getting access. And it's not like it's not arbitrary because like MJ was phenomenal in this role. Like, and it's her breakout role in that's how you got to know her. And even the supporting cast, like you'll just get to know them and love them. And like, then, I mean, cause now the series is over. You'll get to miss them now. Like, cause it's so powerful. It's like, I will say it is probably the biggest show of our generation just because of the representation.
That's awesome. I really do need to watch it. Actually when we were in Vermont this weekend, my friend was like, do you watch Pose? And I was like, oh, I was like, no, my friend Mark's been telling me to watch it. I was like, I'm terrible. I need to watch it. And he was showing me clips of, I can't remember her name, but she's one of the mothers. And he said, yes. And he was like, she is the meanest bitch I've ever met. That's what he
said. I don't think, yeah. Listen, she's serious. Elektra, I don't want to ruin it. I'm not going to ruin it.
No, no, don't. I promise I'm going to watch it.
The reads. Like she just carries like cisgendered white people to the T when they try to come for her. Like, so eloquent.
I look forward to watching it. So congratulations to MJ Rodriguez.
For sure. And don't be deterred that it's a, because normally I don't like Ryan Murphy, although I have to eat my words because I do love 911, which has lovingly been referred to as Paw Patrol for adults. No big deal. Still working through some of that in therapy. But I think just the fact that he produced it and gave like actual trans people the stage to talk about their experiences was so important. And I think one character that like I always love and carry with me is India Moore's character Angel. I just love her and Lil Poppy. But I could go on I literally could go on all day. And once you watch it, and tell me when you watch it, because I would watch them with you so we can have a conversation.
Absolutely, I will.
So
I swear it's on my list of many things to do in 4 more weeks when school is done.
I know. You listen, go at your own pace. This is not a hot topic that we wrote down, but I'm dying laughing because it happened, like, I was reading while I was in the airport, but Lil Nas X. Do you remember, like, earlier this year, he made those Nikes with a drop of human blood in them?
Yeah.
He's like, I can't tell if he's like trolling the judicial system or whatever, but he got sued. Like, whomever like sued him, either Nike or somebody pissed off, like some Christian that's pissed off, like sued him. And he's made a whole like skit about it. Like, he plays his lawyer, he plays the judge, he plays himself, he plays the jury. It is like straight magnifique. The one thing I like about him is he trolls. He doesn't like, and I don't know the man, but he doesn't seem like he gets mad. It just seems like he gets trolly. And I'm like, okay, you are definitely a Gen Z-er. Like, there is no way around that.
I think like it's good that he keeps that mindset that like any press is good press, honey. And you're spending your time talking about me. So all you're doing is putting my name in the media, and like, I'm fine with my decisions. And I think that's what I like admire most about him, is that for like a young kid, cause he's young.
He's super young. And
he really wants to be an advocate for gay males and the LGBTQ community, to show that like, you can do whatever you want. And
literally whatever.
Literally whatever, and that you are a person just like every other human on this earth, and you deserve to be represented, and he does not care what they say. And I think that's a really good role model for, I think, especially like teenagers to have, just because it's like, you know, you don't have to take everything that people say to heart, because there's always going to be people out there who want to.
Right. Well, even our topic today doesn't mean you need to, maybe you do need to self-critique. But like, you got to learn how to distinguish like constructive criticism versus like people are just shouting noise at you. And like I said last week, much smaller scale compared to Lil Nas X, but the people that go out of their way to tell me like this podcast is dog shit, I'm like, that means you noticed it. So it's not that dog shitty. You noticed it. So like, let's start there.
Yeah.
But I digress. He just cracks me up, Lil Nas X. This. Also, did I tell you, this is another tangent. I haven't talked to you in a while. This is why there's so many tangents today. did I tell you how Micah was doing the body oddy dance?
No.
He has no clue who Meg Thee Stallion is, has no clue about the video, anything. One kid in his grade must have seen it or something, and was doing body yaddy, and we were at 4th of July cookout, and I like looked over, and he's like, body yaddy. I was like, what? I go, what are you doing right now? He's like, it's called body yaddy, Mark. And I was like, do not qualify.
Go sit down, little boy.
Like, this is my first time hearing it. It's called body yaddy, Mark. And I'm like, okay. All right. Like, I think that's not appropriate for a 6-year-old to do. That's just me. But I'm not your parent, so. Gosh. I love him, though. He cracks me up. I had a good time with him this past weekend.
These kids, I say it, they have, like, their personalities just kill me. Like,
Both of them.
The things that, like, kids catch on to. Like, that kid probably heard that song in the car, saw it on TikTok, and was like, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
I was like, can you not do that? And it was like,
I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I don't even know, like, because I feel like now, like, obviously we're adults, so that song to us isn't inappropriate, but like when we were younger, like, what songs were inappropriate that our parents didn't want us listening to? Like,
Baby One More Time, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Like, I remember when it came out, when it premiered, and my parents being like, I can't believe this Britney Spears, she's so slutty. And then Christina Aguilera, Dirty, when that came out, my parents were at their most Christian. So much so that my mom got up in the pulpit and read the lyrics to Pink's Don't Let Me Get Me it, like spoken word, look at how depressed our generation is. Like, don't let me get me. And I'm like, stop putting extra emphasis on these words. Like, she's sharing her experience and that it, and to a beat. So stop. Just stop. Stop.
Oh, that my God. That's hilarious. I've never heard you tell me that. She read that in front of your church.
Entire church on a Sunday morning. Like, I just was like, well, if nothing else, you just made me buy an album.
You just bought her some, you just made her some money, honey. Wow, your parents didn't let you listen to Hit Me Baby One More Time?
My parents, I didn't listen, so Lauren, I didn't listen to secular music until I started lying about it. But like,
wait, what is that song about?
What, Body Adi? Or no, Don't Let Me Get Me?
No, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, it's just sexual and like the video sexual comparatively to like Christian music and stuff. And it's like, she was dressed as like a young, like old girl with pigtails and all that. And it just, it made grown men look at young girls. Like, no, you're a pervert. You're already looking at young girls, and women don't have to edit their body to please you. So no, stop it right now.
I was going to say, men are looking at young girls' bodies regardless.
And the 90s were trash for all of these things. And this is why we're in the predicament we are now. So
exactly.
Yeah. I like those. Oh, don't get me to telling you all the stuff that happened in church. Like that kind of stuff was like on the regular, but I used to sneak and listen to, like, I love Lauryn Hill still. But I used to take her CD, put it in my Discman, and then put a Christian CD on top of it. So if my parents ever asked, like, oh, what are you listening to? I could be like, I would show them like, oh, like Jackie Velasquez or something like that. Like,
wow,
I was under lock. I was under lock and key. The thing is, if you tell somebody, and this is how I'm like, if I become a parent, how I will raise my kids is like, if you tell somebody not to do something, that's just arbitrary. Not like, don't touch a stove, don't cross the street without looking both ways, but like, don't listen to secular music. Why? Like, that's an arbitrary rule, and it makes you feel better, not me. I'm going to find a way around it because I don't agree with it. So then, you're forcing me to, in a way, to lie to you. And like, I'm comfortable because you don't know. As opposed to like, okay, like we both know, like it's whatever. So yeah, don't put your kids in a position to lie to you. They will.
They will.
So, and that's from a non-parent to parent, they will lie to you. but let's talk this week about constructive self-criticism. And we mentioned it last week and how it was kind of like coming up throughout the topic last week. But I don't know, when you hear the words like constructive self-criticism, what do you think? And like, do you think, this is a two-part question, to like, do you think that you're good at it or have gotten better at it?
So when I think of constructive self-criticism, I think of not talking down to yourself, but maybe looking inward at the things that you could be doing better. So like, I might say, okay, like I know that at work, like I could afford to be, and this is just making something up because I don't have bad time management skills, but like, okay, at work, I know that my time management is just a little off. Like I'm not good at doing this and this at the same time, blah, blah, blah. Like I should work on multitasking rather than being, oh my God, you're a slow idiot. Like you can't manage your hand anything. Yeah. So I think of it as constructive rather than being mean to yourself. And then I'm sorry, repeat the second half.
Do you think that you, is it a skill that you've gotten better at or is something that you still need to work on?
Definitely something I need to work on. I think that a lot of times if I do something that I'm like, oh my God, like, why did I do that? I, instead of saying like, well, I could have done this instead of this, I'm like, oh my God, you like, why would you do that? Like, it was clearly evident you should have done this differently. Or, like you could be better about doing this. Like, you know, like I always say to people, like, oh my God, I could be better about working. I'm just so freaking lazy. Instead of saying, oh, I could probably try to fit in 1 to 2 days in my schedule. I'm just very busy right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something
all in how you frame it, it seems like.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about it. So I think that when it comes to constructive self-criticism, like as long as you're phrasing it in a way that's not like harmful to you and like your psyche, it can be a good thing. It can be something that you can grow from and like learn from, just like if you were to give it to someone else or if someone was to give it to you.
Well, because you like, we have to, I think in order to work in the workforce today, you have to be able to take constructive criticism. Nobody is expecting you to be perfect, but they are expecting you to be teachable, right? Like it's not that you need to know going into this job the ins and outs of how to make it right, because every company is different, by the way. But like, hey, we should really do it this way because it provides this result. And like, if you were to take that to heart every single time you got it, the world is going to crumble around you.
Every single time. And I know that I had mentioned it when we talked about it last week, like that was something that we were running into with some of our like newer graduate nurses, because I believe that they had been told for so long, like how great and how wonderful you'll excel at everything in your life all the time, that when they had to get into the workforce, they weren't prepared for people actually saying like, hey, no, like we do it this way, or hey, you know what, you could be doing things this way, or just plain being told like that is not correct. And I think that it really takes a self-awareness to be able to receive constructive criticism. And that same self-awareness would be necessary if you were going to constructively criticize yourself, because you have to be able to say like, okay, like this is something that I know that I need to improve on. Like, I don't know, like mm-hmm. me, my attitude. We all know that. We all know that like my attitude is something that I struggle with. Like once it's there, it's there. It's hard for me to kick it. And I know that like something I could work on to like better my attitude is to like not hold grudges when I'm mad at people, like not letting one single situation affect my entire life. Like, you know, someone pisses you off at the gas station and you carry that with you all day. Like, why? Like now you're miserable and pissed off.
Well, it's like a poison that like envelops you, not anybody else. It's like, you're the one that feels bad about that. Like, I'm sure the person at the gas station is like, oh, I just pissed her off. I don't really care. Like they moved on essentially.
Yeah. And that's something that I know, like that I'm self-aware of, that I could work on things like that. My road rage, you know?
When we hang out, I offer to drive.
True.
Oh, it's so funny. Listen, we're all on a journey. It's not going to happen tonight.
What about you?
What about me? There are a lot of things I need to work on. I internalize things, and not necessarily criticism, but I internalize how somebody must have felt when I did wrong, if I didn't like perform to the best of my ability. So like, for instance, with marketing, it's all in like how you are presenting the company that you work for. So if you do things like typos or inconsistent grammar, inconsistent like just style and things like that, aesthetics, like if it's not consistent, it makes it harder to do your job, because you're losing trust and confidence in the people that are interacting with your media. So all of that to say is like, if somebody tells me, Mark, can you do it this way? Yeah, I can do it that way. And I don't actually even think about it as a correction. I think about it as like, oh, like that's just the way it should be done. But I then start to ruminate on, ooh, for them to get to the point to tell me that this is wrong, I must have been doing it wrong a lot. Like, and it's like, nobody's ever said that. Like, that's me projecting onto myself, like my imposter syndrome, like all of these things, like that I don't believe that I'm worthy to be in the place that I'm in. So any type of critique is me kind of being proven correct on that. So I struggle with that and a couple other, like the way in which I talk to myself, like, ew, especially if it's like in a like a dating situation, not even a relationship. I think the relationship, I'm like, whew, like done with all that. But like a dating situation is a fucking interview. And I like am so in my own head about everything. Oh, am I like sitting up straight? Am I thinking about this right? Like, am I actually listening? Like all these things are running through my head. And I'm just like, that's exhausting. And I have a couple stories about some dates that I've gone on in the last week, and they are a shit show. But we researched today from Psychology Today some of the like ways in which we can kind of give ourselves more of a constructive self-critique. And the first one to me that stuck out, and it is number one, is criticize specific changeable behaviors, not global unchangeable attributes. So they researched and looked into different styles in which we talk to ourselves. And those who like talk to themselves in a negative, like all-encompassing way, like everything you do is negative, obviously like the things that kind of lend themselves to that, like are depression, anxiety, and like all these like things that like are that consume you over time, if that's the way in which your mind processes critique. So if you say things to yourself like, I'm just not intelligent, and that's a way for you to like brush off why you didn't like achieve whatever goal or you didn't make something happen, and I don't know, the way you talk to yourself matters.
Right. Yeah. And I read it as like, instead of saying like you said, like instead of saying I'm not intelligent, like you could say like, oh, I just didn't understand the situation. Right. I'm more than capable of like interpreting it. It's just that the way that I interpret it may not have been how they interpreted it. And instead, now I'm more aware of how they want me to do things. Which right. I thought was important because I think like, it's kind of like that Oreo sandwich that they talk about, like, you know, like mm-hmm. one good thing, one bad thing, one good thing. So you might say to yourself like, okay, yeah, I didn't do the project the way that they wanted. Good thing. Like I spent a lot of time on it. I gave my all to it. It wasn't necessarily what they were looking for, but now I know for next time what they are looking for, rather than beating yourself up and saying, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Like, how could I have ever thought I would excel at this or something right. like that?
Well, and they like, even in this article said like changing the tone of it all. Like if you stayed up late, like, so it says, I stayed up too late watching TV when I could have been studying. Next time I could limit my TV and like kind of let that be the experience, you know? It's things that you can change. I can change how much TV I consume. I can change how long I'm on social media. And actually, this is a great point because I've been up late lately. And I think I've had like some weird insomnia. I've been anxious about like events and stuff like that, work events. But I can always tell, like, I go to bed pretty much at like 10, 11:30 is the latest. I've been up to like 1, 2, and I'm like, okay, this isn't healthy. Then it, like, I know what happens next is like, oh, I should get a snack. I should totally get a snack at 2 a.m. because that's a normal time to eat. And it just becomes like self-perpetuating. I'm like, oh, my stomach hurts at 9 a.m. Why did I eat? I'm not like, you should not eat because you're just laying in one spot and not moving around. But it, I can edit that behavior. Like, okay, I need to like leave all of my media, like all of the, like the computer, the phone, I just need to leave them downstairs and then just power down. Maybe I put on some like soothing yoga music or something like that to just like thin my mind out a bit. But I don't know. It's, there's stuff I'm working on for that. Cause I, now that we're talking about it, I've definitely been like criticizing myself about it.
Well, I was going to say too, like you could even do something as simple as like setting like an off time for yourself, like saying like, okay, after like 7:30 PM, I'm not doing any more work. I'm not going to like stress about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to have like an hour to decompress and then I'm going to do my thing, go to bed, like shut off my media like 30 minutes before and hopefully get like a good night's sleep that way. I mean, because I know like it has nothing to do with constructive criticism, but screen time really does have a lot to do with our sleeping problems. And it's kind of scary like how much we can have like effect on our bodies and our sleep cycles and all that thing.
Well, because look at how everything is learning. So if I get shitty sleep today, I'm like annoyed, I'm cranky, I'm like less focused, I make more mistakes tomorrow, which then leads to my anxiety, like, oh shit, like if I keep making these mistakes, I'm gonna get fired, or I get depressed, like, oh, my life's going nowhere, like I just wake up, I just work, I just go to sleep. Like so you can get into this rut and your body starts responding to it and you like you don't want to work out, like you put on like weight and stuff like that. And not like that putting on weight is a bad thing inherently, but it's like, why is it sourced to your depression? That might not be healthy. If it's like, oh, I'm, you know what, I'm just doing different stuff today, I'm not working out as much, or I'm not eating more as mindfully, like that's a different story. But it's tough. It's really just, I don't know. And it all probably starts from a singular thought that goes out.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're being negative towards yourself, it causes that spiral. So number two that they listed is criticize external circumstances, but then try to change them. So the way that I read this was that instead of blaming everything on something else, learn from those mistakes and learn how you're going to better them for next time. So like the example, they used watching TV a lot as their example, but they said, for example, you stayed up late watching TV, but that's partly because your roommates were also watching TV and it was hard for you to concentrate on your homework. So then you ended up staying late. So then like next time, instead of saying like, oh, well, it was my roommate's fault, like they were up, they were distracting me. Next time you'll know like, okay, maybe I need to do my work in my bedroom or away from them or, you know, at the library or something like. And another point that it made was using peer pressure as like a positive, not necessarily as like, oh, I have to do what everyone says, but knowing that as long as you're aware that like peer pressure is there, you can use like take individual responsibility for ways to like avoid it. So you know that, okay, I'm like the perfect example of this. Like I know that my two friends are, they love to go out. They don't like care what time of day it is. They want to have a good time. And I am very bad at saying no. So I might say, oh, you know what? I do have an essay to write, but I could go out for a couple of hours. And then that couple hours turns into all night long. And then the next day I'm struggling. And instead of saying like, oh, it's their fault I went out, they forced me to,
right,
I can say, I know how they are and it's okay to say no to them. And next time I would say no and that I have to do my homework kind of thing. So just like taking responsibility for that is important because at the end of the day, the mistakes that you make, like you're only going to better yourself from them and you're only going to learn from them if you're willing to acknowledge them and like do better from them.
Yeah. Well, and like, if you want to like actually do better from them, like that is a part of it. It's like, you have to acknowledge that like there's a problem first, and that's more, that is more my problem, if not at all. It's just identifying that there actually is a problem. Okay. You don't know how to control yourself when it comes to this, or, and this is, so a prime example of something I've worked on is I do, like, it's a great thing that you said is like, I have friends that can drink. I like put a bottle away on their own, and I can too. And there are times and like spaces for that, but it can't be every single time that you go out to have a drink. You can't just like kill a bottle or two bottles of wine. So like my rule for going out is like two drink maximum, because A, I stay present, I'm enjoying myself, I'm loosened up, but I'm still like available to have conversations, interact with people, and not be like, oh my God, like, no say. And like, I was Kayla's drunk friend once. That is all I needed. When like that time we drank those damn Moscow mules in the park was like, the sloppiest I have been in a quite some time. That was like a a moment. It was a moment I was like, I don't ever want that feeling again. And to hear her, like Kayla tell it, she was like, oh, I didn't even like really care. Like, I didn't really notice. I was like, oh, but I deeply noticed.
And I know for next time, maybe only like 5 Moscow Mules instead of 8. No, I'm just
instead
kidding.
Of 8. My God. Like, oh. But I mean, over the weekend, I drank a bottle and a half of wine myself. And that was with like friends, but I was at somebody's house and I just felt like more comfortable and all that. But like going out is like, ooh, that's not great. Also, stop buying cheap wine. It gives you a hangover.
Also that. Learn from your mistakes.
Learn from this. Learn. So number 3 is shift your focus from yourself to others. Now that, like, just reading that sounds like, what the fuck? Like, this is not self-criticism. Like, it doesn't really work. But it's taking a more compassionate route on your actions and how they can affect others. It's not necessarily the image of yourself, but your actions and what the branches of those look like. So if I am setting the goal to be more like aware of how some of my intentions can hurt other people, if I'm trying to set that, then I need to be aware of what the like outcome to some of my behaviors are. So if I'm, for instance, we can go back to the work example. If I'm staying up till 2 a.m. and I am sluggish and tired perpetually and not like contributing to like meetings and things like that, I think that actually affects my coworkers in a way that's like, ooh, can we actually count on him when the big stuff is happening? Like everybody has a day of being tired, but like if you're constantly like that and that's what they become to expect from you, it's like, that's not really fair because now you're not pulling your weight and you really do have to start within and then that will branch out and it will affect people positively or negatively and you get to sit with both of those.
Yeah, I think that is like a perfect example because as you were reading that, I was like, this completely fits into you saying before, like you try to be mindful of how you make other people feel. And I think that that also ties into like the self-awareness that I talked about before, because I think that a lot of times, like I always talk about people being unintentionally inconsiderate. And yeah. I think that if you don't know or you don't realize that you're doing something that is affecting other people, you're not going to be able to change it. And if no one ever really calls you out on it, and then one day someone says to you, like, you know what? Like, I don't know, just for example, like you're always late. Like you are late and I have to wait an extra 15 minutes for you to get here. And I have things I need to be doing. Like I want to go home and you just stroll in here. Like if no one's ever said that to you before, yeah. If no one ever says that to you before, and it's like the first time you're hearing it, you might be like, oh, like, ew, like, why would anyone ever say that to me? Like, no one's ever said anything before. But then maybe you might take the time to look inward and think like, well, I guess I never really thought about how my time management affects other people. And maybe I will leave like my house 10 minutes earlier so that I'm not causing someone else to have a negative experience because right. of me.
Well, and then they like, in a way, they have to, everything after that experience is like repaying a debt. And I don't mean like you owe them like, oh my God, like I was late once, I owe you. But a debt of like perception, like I perceive you to be a late person. I perceive you therefore to be inconsiderate. And like, it's gonna take actions whether you're aware of them or unaware of them for you to come out of that debt and for you to come like and make a better impression later down the road. And I don't think it's important to get hung up on exactly how people feel about you, because I feel like that's an ever moving target. But like, there are some general guidelines of like respect and like just generally treating people well, not even how you want to be treated, but like treat them well, like it, as a person would. So
yeah. And I think there's a difference between worrying about like what people think of you all the time versus worrying about like how your actions affect other people. Because I think worrying about if people like you and if people think you're great and like, what if this person thinks you're a bitch, whatever, like all the time will only cause you to be constantly criticizing your every move.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Versus thinking like, I don't know, like, I guess versus thinking like, I'm trying to think of something like related to like you and me that I could use an example. Like, oh, I know that Mark doesn't like, I don't know. Just like something like, yeah, well, like, you know, just,
I don't like
trying
when people
not to
do, my
do something
at
that's
home.
Gonna be negatively impacting someone else versus how your every single move, like every single thing you do makes them like you or not. Cause then not everyone's
well,
gonna like you.
Like, well, and that's also like not healthy to put yourself in a position to be like judged by every emotion I may have. And listen, as a person who either likes you or doesn't like you, there are some people I just have a neutral opinion on, but like for the most part, it's like, okay, like cool, I can hang out with this person, or I just am like, no. It's like you shouldn't attach yourself to that. That's a me thing. I may make your life miserable, like, and I've done that to people. But it's like, don't attach yourself to it too deeply. But like generally, if you are a good, kind person, I can kind of sense it, and I will be okay with that. If you're up to something, I swear I can sniff it out a mile away. I swear I can, because one thing that like is a pet peeve, like actually is like a kind of like a chemistry thing, is if somebody is working overtime for me to like them, I now know there is a reason for me not to like you, and you are trying to throw me off the trail, which I'm a bloodhound. I'm now on it, and you and I are going to figure it out together. And it reminds me of the biter. I swear to God, it's like my gut was like, why are you feeling this way? Why are you in this place with her? You don't even know her. But when you come on, like, this is how it is, and like, we're doing this, and I'm like, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever tell me what I'm doing. You can ask me, you can suggest to me, but if you tell me what I'm doing, I promise you, you are going to get somebody who's going to kick and scream and probably try to dismantle whatever it is you're trying to get me to accomplish nail by nail. So yeah, it just, when you insist that like, I have to like you in order for me to be like, if I don't like you, there's something wrong with me. Oh, baby girl, put your britches on, because it's time.
And that's the thing too, is like, I think it's important too that like, you kind of make it a thing that like, it's okay that you don't like everyone either. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Not everyone's going to like you, just like you're not going to like everyone else. Like, that's one of my biggest things that like, I think my problem is like, I do want people to like me, but if I don't like someone else, like, I don't want that to mean they don't like me. Isn't that so weird?
It is very weird. And I'm there too, because that's me and my neighbor. Like, I don't care if he likes me. In a way, I do. I do, and I'm bothered because I don't think he knows me to not like me. But it's just to kind of come like my going narrative. Anytime I see him, I'm like, oh, he's not going to wave because he doesn't like me. But I'm not concerned whether or not I like him. Never once has that entered the equation. I don't care about him. I have a kind of a neutral opinion about him. But like the audacity for him to not like me when I'm a darling is very strange.
You are a darling. You are a darling. He should be knocking on your door with baked goods every morning.
Every morning. Is it too much to ask that you kiss
me? I don't think so. I don't think it's too much to ask. Get up every morning at 4 a.m. and bake me some fresh fucking scones.
I don't think it's too much. Like, and I'm preferable to lemon scones. That's me.
Yum. With a little blueberry lemon scone. That sounds yummy.
Oh, that might be what I'll make this weekend.
Yum.
I'm like really trying to get my baking game together. I don't know how to do it, but like, who wants to bake in July also? Why am I this way?
Get with Morgan. She'll teach you.
Morgan knows everything about the baking.
She sure do. She sure do. Okay. Number four is to practice self-compassionate self-criticism. So one of the, yeah, seriously. So it says, especially for people who are prone to shame. And all I can think of is Cersei and the Bell. Shame, shame. Hey. Self-compassion can be exactly what is needed to make self-criticism bearable. So it's kind of like that saying, okay, so like the example they use is, yes, I messed up, but it doesn't make me a terrible person. And the way I interpreted it was that saying, I'm having a bad day, not a bad life. So like, you can have a hiccup, you can make a mistake, you're human, you're going to, everybody does. And 99.9% of the time, no one is harmed by your mistake besides your own psyche and your own like emotional well-being because you're beating yourself up about it. So it's okay to say, you know what? I own it. I made this mistake. How am I going to move past it? Like, how can I learn from this? Like, and I think like the best, like the comparison I can make is like, as like most recently, like Patrick and I had an argument and it was something that like, I didn't feel like I really did anything wrong, but I felt like I was like saying like, yes, I made this mistake. And then I was like looking in and I'm like, but I didn't do anything wrong. And like, lo and behold, he came to me and said like, you know what? Like, that was me. It was me. And he had that time to like look in and say like, I didn't need to respond the way I did. This is why I responded the way I did. And now I can like see like where my anger really was and that it was misplaced. And I think that I think that so often we want to beat ourselves up because it's like the easy thing to do. Like, you know, for example, you said like, oh, I went on these dates and they were miserable. And like, maybe you went home and you were thinking about like, oh, could I have said this different? Or like, should I have said this? But instead it's just like, you know what? Maybe it just wasn't a good match. Like, is that,
and that's not a reflection on either of us, but it's about both of us. Like I have things that I want, and especially being in your 30s, like I'm not like a 20-year-old who's trying to mold himself or their self into anybody's like pocket. I don't care enough about anything to try to change myself without like a compelling reason as to why I should be augmented. Yes, I definitely came home and was like, oh, like what are my takeaways from this? Like, was I all of these things? Was I like the person that I would like to represent myself on that date? And there were some things I should definitely update and change and do differently, but like, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person, not even a bad dater. I just, that wasn't it. So we'll get into those dates next. It's what a doozy. But yeah, compassion being the like optimal word there. I need a lesson in like, I just need to sit and learn about more compassionate behaviors towards myself, because it's so easy to be like, oh yeah, you're the worst at that. Like, don't ever try it again. Or like, why would you keep going at this when you keep trailing at it? Like, yeah, it's really like, who talks to people that way?
Well, it's kind of like I said, I think I said it in last week's episode, or if not, I said it the week before, like something like my friend always says to me is like, would you talk to me the way that you're talking to yourself? And I think that the same with, if you were constructively criticizing someone else, you wouldn't sit there and berate them and tell them they were a fucking idiot. You would say like, hey, like, let's look at how we could have done this differently. And you wouldn't tell them like, you should quit your job because you really suck at life.
You'll never be great at it.
No. You know? So it's just like, I think just being more cognizant of like how we talk to ourselves, just like even when you're not criticizing yourself, just like in general, like you wouldn't talk to other people like that. And other people wouldn't tolerate, I would hope, wouldn't tolerate you talking to them like that. So like, why would you tolerate talking to yourself that way?
Well, and I think it also goes to a place of like being able to just notice intrusive thoughts without them like taking root. Like sometimes you just have like, oh God, like you caught yourself in like the reflection of the TV and you look, you look crazy. Like when Netflix goes dark asking you, do you want to keep watching? And you're like, Like, oh my God, like that. Those are moments of like, ooh, okay, girl, like maybe close your mouth when you're sitting there. not going to change the world. I think the takeaway I'm at least taking away from this, takeaway, is I am going to try to work to be more compassionate to myself. And I think that's a great starting place of changing, like identifying changeable behaviors and like looking at circumstances differently.
I agree. I think we can all afford to do it. And I think that it's easy to like say we're gonna, and it's easy to like tell other people like not to be hard on themselves, but it's important to remember that like you're just as human as other people, and like mistakes are gonna be made. Like that's how we learn, you know, like that's how we make things better. And I mean, I feel like it's kind of like lame to relate it to healthcare, because like but being in school has just like made me realize like the reason that things come into place are usually because of an error that happened that we learned from and realized like, oh, this change needs to be made. So your mistakes aren't always a bad thing. Like, sure, they may ruin your day, and they may piss someone off. Or kill someone, they might. But other people will learn from them too.
In general, that's how science works. Like, that's how medicine works. Is like enough people have died by COVID to know what to do, what not to do. Like, and that's sad that like they had to go through that in order to for us to arrive to this place. But it's real. It's
that's not how we learned.
It's not a pretty truth, but it's a truth nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, let's get into our loud feelings for the week. Oh God, do you want to go first? Because I have two of them.
Sure, I will go first. So I watched a video online, and it was this carnival ride. It was like this thing. It had like four.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God. It had these four like legs that looked like they were made of like aluminum. And then it was this big like circle that like everyone sat on. And I believe it swung like a pendulum. And before it even, like, there was already people on the ride. They're getting ready to start it up. And it was, like, the leg was, like, wah, 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 like, shaking. Like, they said, like, people said they could feel the concrete ground shaking. And I just want to say that if you still ride carnival rides, fair rides, and I'm sorry, but even, like, Six Flags amusement park rides, you have a death wish. I'm sorry. Like, I do not, especially when it comes to fairs and carnivals, I do not trust any ride that can be taken down and put up in a day.
No. Because you know what? Like, the only reason I would trust a Six Flags type thing is they have to go through tests and stuff like that. And even people still die on those when they go through tests. But at least they're doing the tests. You're not telling me that like somebody with three teeth put together and like says is like cool, a carny. I'm not doing it, baby. No, I'm gonna stick to throwing those like balls at the bowling pins to win a prize, and that is at most what I'm
gonna
do.
A guy with three teeth and four fingers put together your Ferris wheel, and you're gonna get up on that shit.
And no, you thanks. Think you're gonna get up from that?
Take me to the fish bowls. I'll try and win a goldfish that'll die in a week. No thanks.
You might be the goldfish if you get back on those rides. My favorite line is like, if y'all keep flying Spirit Airlines, you're going to be a spirit. You're going to be one.
That's how I feel about carnival rides. You keep riding those, honey. You're riding that roller coaster to Jesus. Because it's over.
Roller coaster to hell. Oh my God. So let's go. I had two dates this past week, and nothing of merit was wrong, but there are things that I'm just like, what the fuck? I hate dating. So date number one went on, super nice guy. I was very attracted to him, which is a thing. Like, I gotta be like pretty tuned in if I'm attracted to you right out of the gate. So I get there. Well, first off, I get to the place that we were meeting and texted him and said, like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to walk up soon. And he's like, oh, I'm not out of the shower yet. I was like, it's 8 o'clock. Like, we agreed on 8 o'clock. And he's like, oh, I thought, like, with all the, like, because we did have to make a couple edits, like, a couple changes. He's like, I thought we would just agree on a new time. And I was like, then why didn't you suggest it? But I tried to keep my cool about it. But I was, like, it kind of started out as a deficit. Then I was like, okay, I'm just going to get something to eat. Because I didn't plan on eating. I was like, we're meeting for drinks. I didn't plan on eating there. But I was like, I will be hungry afterwards. And it was fine. Like, he got there and was waiting for me. Boom. So I sit down. I was like, oh, it's so nice to meet you, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, yeah, you too. Like, thanks for coming. Sorry about this. He apologized. So step in the right direction. He ordered me a drink, Lauren. And he's like, oh, I got me a Long Island and I got you a drink. And I was like, oh, we never even talked about alcohol and like what I like to drink, what I don't like to drink. So he orders me a gin and tonic. And I was like, not that I don't like gin and tonics. I can vibe with them. They're fine. Why did you think that I was a gin and tonic guy?
I am like, just how. Yeah. Like, why did you just assume that you could order my drink?
And that is the biggest part too, is like, I don't know why you felt comfortable enough to assume. I'm a wild card. Like, I don't need you to assume anything about me because I'm going to change it the second you assume it. And that's just the chameleon in me. But I just was like, oh, what? Why did you land on a gin and tonic? He's like, I just think you're probably a classic guy. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Don't speak to me in riddles. What does that mean? Get to the heart of it quick. And I just lost it. So I like, all right, well, that's one off. And we just kept talking. And he's in an MBA program. And I was like, oh, like, what led you to want to get your MBA? And he was like, money. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? And like, he's like, oh, like, I just am only doing this so I can just make a ton of money. And that's all I ever want. And I was like, to do anything just for money is like a red flag to me. I'm sorry. And like, I know like some people are more drawn to money than I am. And like very dedicated to this capitalist society that is ruining everybody's life, whether you realize it or not. I am not that person, but I am trying not to shit on you because you are, but ultimately like, he could say like, I like the art of money, or I like how like money moves. I'm very curious about that. Like the psychology of money, like something more than money. Like it was such a like fucking weird answer to me that I kind of like, oh, there's a start too. So the next thing he did just like kind of irked me. And I was like, I'm not a jealous person. I don't need this to be. Actually, there's two more things. So, but he like looks over at these guys and was like, okay, let's play fuck, marry, kill. And I was like, based on what? Like, he's like, well, like we're both gay men. Like we are driven by like our sight is based on our sex drive. Our sex drive is based on our sight. And I was like, to a degree, but I was like, I don't necessarily fully identify with that. Like I kind of feel like I am a person that draws on energy more than anything. Like I need to know that your vibe is right for me to really want to lean in and be attracted to you. Obviously I see looks and that like starts the, like the curiosity or the conversation, but like, don't tell me who I am sexually. Cause I could be like a demisexual or whatever. And you wouldn't know, like, why would you just offer your opinion on my sexuality? And like, I don't know. He just, but then he, like, the last thing he did was we were leaving and like, oh, like, let's hang out again, knowing that it's never gonna fucking happen. Go, like, he's like, oh, where are you parked? And I like pointed at my car. Listen, I am very proud of my car. I don't care how anybody feels about it. I worked hard to get that car. I worked hard to almost pay it off in the next few months. And I don't give a fuck. Like, I love living debt free. So if you're judging me for having a little car that's like still brand new, mind you, with a warranty, then I am not the person for you. But then it connected me back to like, oh, money. This is you. Like, you don't like that I have this shitty car, quote unquote, because I am not money focused. I'm not money driven, and it's whatever. So that didn't work out. Doesn't make him a bad person. Doesn't just makes him not the person for me. Date number two.
But wait, there's more.
Well, wait, there's more. So I like am opening my horizons, went on another date. And this one I let go a little further than I thought I would. This is real. This is new moves. So I meet this guy, we have a drink, and I was like, okay, like cool. I noticed that like two things happened. Like he really like would never really take his sunglasses off, and it was like dusk. And I was like, why are your sunglasses still on? Like, this is creepy as fuck. Like, all right, whatever. Like, maybe it'll be like you're just a good hookup. And I'm like looking at his body, like, okay, fine. Like, I am gonna try to lean into this one. And he must have just had like some like plastic surgery, because he still had a vest on. And I was like, I'm not, like, I immediately was like, nope, we're in the Sahara now. Like, we are dried up. Nothing's happening here. And I like, how I let it get this far. I like overrode all of my red flags. It was like, all right, like, don't be superficial. And he was like, do you want to come back to my house for a drink? And I was like, fine, like, let's see how this all works out. Maybe it's fine. Lauren, I walk in and this man had like action figures displayed everywhere. Displayed. And I said, absolutely not. Lauren, I grabbed my coat and said, you know what? I am not in the mood to have a drink. I feel it. My head is a little swimmy. I need to go home. I'm going to go. Thank you so much for lovely evening. Good, like, have a good night. Oh, is everything okay? No, but like, thank you so much for a great evening. I tried to remain polite, but he had action figures everywhere. I could have died, Lauren. I could have died right then and there.
Well,
immediately blocked.
I have to tell you, I know you know who I'm thinking of with their action figures.
That's immediately what I thought of.
I think you made the right decision leaving, because that's the hole you don't want to go down.
Remember that like meme of Grandpa Simpson when he sees Bart Simpson at the burlesque bar? He walks in, hangs up his coat, and like looks at Bart and immediately walks out the door.
That's turned me. Around, puts his hat back on, and leaves. That was you.
Immediately me. I was like, no, I saw everything that it was, and it wasn't given what it said was going to give. I'm not.
And you know, it. I would say no, you didn't, but I know good and goddamn well you did.
You know for a fact I did. I've kicked people out for less, but
you have, but not God. For undeservingly less.
No, I'm not a vicious like viper or anything. I'm just like, I cannot do that.
Like, get out.
Also, if you put cilantro in your salads, you deserve jail time. That is the long and short of that.
Good because Lord.
Somebody put one in mine, and I wanted more. I could have gone to war.
One sprig of cilantro they put, or more?
No, it was chopped up and hidden throughout. So every time I bit, it was like a mouthful of Dawn.
Ew. Yeah, I can take cilantro. I can handle cilantro in small doses, but I know you hate it.
Oof, it's the worst to me. But thanks for joining me on my dating adventures. They're always
That was wild start to finish. I mean, the first guy, he just seems like a douche. The second guy seems like a douche. A murderer. He would probably either tie you up and you would be in his basement forever and you'd be forced to play with those action figures. Or he would just never grow up. And I get collectibles, but like,
I don't actually care about. No, put your collectibles where I can't see them. Put them in the basement like a respectable weirdo. But like
somewhere
else. Why?
Like the respectable weirdo. Like, there's this. there's a way to be respected.
This is the icing on the cake. His TV was still on when we got there. I was like, you left your TV on? Like, did you leave in a hurry? Like, what
was he left it on for the action figures.
Which also means I made the right decision.
But yeah, you did. He was probably like, don't worry, guys. I'll bring back a friend for you. And it was you. You were
I'll get a father for you. We'll be fine.
So, a father.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Loud Feelings Podcast. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review or whatever number review you feel like you should leave. But until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye, bitch.